Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
Shalom and good morning. My name is Karen and I am your reader today. Today is Thursday, March 21st. It's also the 11th of Adar 2 on the Hebrew calendar. And today is the fast of Esther. Today there is fasting from dawn until dusk on Purim evening, commemorating the three-day fast observed by the Jewish people before Purim. If the date does fall on a Shabbat, it is moved to the preceding Thursday. As this fast is not one of the four public fast ordained by the prophets, the laws concerning its observance are a little more lenient. Our parasha for this week is Vayikra, which means he called, and our reading today is going to be from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 1 through 26, and we also will have a few extra readings today due to Purim coming up. But before we begin, let's take this moment to bless God and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people and to all people through Messiah Yeshua, our Master. The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Bnei Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's mitzvot that are not to be done and commits any one of them, or if the anointed Kohen sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer for his sin which he has committed a young bull without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He is to bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the head of the bull, and slaughter it before the Lord. The anointed Kohen shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. The Kohen is to dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, before the curtain of the sanctuary. The Kohen should put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tent of meeting, and he is to pour out all of the rest of the blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to take all the fat of the bull of the sin offering off of it, the fat that covers the innards, all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is over them, which is by the loins, and the cover on the liver, which he is to remove from the kidneys, just as it is removed from the bull of the sacrifice of fellowship offerings. The Kohen should burn them up as smoke on the altar of burnt offering. The bull's hide, all its flesh, with its head, along with its legs, its innards, and its dung. The entire bull he is to carry outside the camp to a clean place, where the fat ashes are poured out, and burn it over the wood on the fire. It is to be burned on top of the place of pouring fat ashes. Now, if the whole congregation of Israel sins, but the deed is hidden from the eyes of the community, yet they have done one of the Lord's mitzvot that are not to be done, then they are guilty. When the sin they committed becomes known, then the community is to offer a young bull for a sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the congregation are to lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull is to be slaughtered before the Lord. The anointed Kohen should bring some of the blood from the bull to the tent of meeting. Then the Kohen is to dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, before the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is before the Lord, in the tent of meeting, and the rest of the blood he is to pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to take all its fat from it and burn it up as smoke on the altar. He is also to do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. He must do the same with it. So the Kohen shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. Then he is to carry the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the community. When a ruler sins and unwittingly does one of the mitzvot of the Lord his God that are not to be done, then he is guilty. When his sin that he committed is made known to him, he is to bring his offering, a goat, a male without blemish. He is to lay his hand on the head of the goat and slaughter it in the place where they slaughtered the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. The Kohen should take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. He is to pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. He is to burn all its fat on the altar, just like the fat of the sacrifice of fellowship offerings. So the Kohen shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and he will be forgiven. That was Leviticus chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. We are also reading in Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 through 14 today. Then Moshe sought the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why should your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, He brought them out to do evil, to slay them in the mountains, and to annihilate them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this destruction against your people. Remember Avraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your offspring, and they will inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the destruction that he said he would do to his people. That was Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 through 14. And we're also reading in Exodus 34, verses 1 through 10. The Lord said to Moshe, Carve for yourself two tablets of stone, like the first ones, and I will write upon them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning to come up to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come up with you, and do not let anyone be seen throughout the entire mountain. Even the flocks and herds must not graze in front of that mountain. So he carved two tablets of stone like the first. Then Moshe rose up early in the morning, went up onto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Then the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there as he called on the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to a thousand generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, but bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Then Moshe quickly bowed his head down to the earth and worshipped. He said, "If now I have found grace in your eyes, my Lord, let my Lord please go within our midst, even though this is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your own inheritance." Then he said, "I am cutting a covenant before all your people. I will do wonders such as have not been done in all the earth or in any nation. All the people you are among will see the work of the Lord, for what I am going to do with you will be awesome." That was Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. And this is a section that is traditionally read in the synagogues today. Also traditionally read today is Isaiah 55, 6 through 56, 8. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It is a declaration of the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, without having watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to sow and bread to eat, so my word will be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me in vain, but will accomplish what I intended and will succeed in what I send it for. Yes, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, a cypress will come up, and instead of a briar, a myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord as an everlasting sign that will never be cut off. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the Son of Man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning Shabbat, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let a son of a foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuch who keeps my Shabbatot, who chooses to please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give to them in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep from profaning Shabbat and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord Elohim, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, I will gather still others to him, to those already gathered. That was Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 56, verse 8. And that concludes the synagogue readings that are done for today. Now moving on to our portion in the prophets of the Nevi'im, we're reading Isaiah chapter 8 today. Then the Lord said to me, take yourself a great tablet and write on it with a man's stylus, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. So I took for myself trustworthy witnesses, Uriah the Kohen and Zechariah the son of Yeruchiah. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. For behold, the child will have knowledge to cry, my father, or my mother. The wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. Then the Lord spoke to me further, saying, because these people have refused the softly flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoiced with Rezin and Remaliah's son, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing on them the waters of the river, mighty and massive. Assyria's king with all his glory, it will rise over all its channels and spill over all its banks. Then it will sweep through Yehuda, overflow as it passes through, reaching even to the neck. So the spread of its wings will be the full breadth of your land, Emmanuel. Make an uproar, O peoples, but you will be broken in pieces. Give ear, all of you far countries. Arm yourselves, yet be shattered. Arm yourselves, yet be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will amount to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For thus the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand, warning me that I should not walk in the way of these people, saying, do not say, it's a conspiracy, about everything that these people call a conspiracy. You must not fear or tremble at what they fear. Adonai Tzevaot, him will you sanctify, and let him be your fear, trembling at him. He will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Many among them will stumble, fall, and be broken, snared and caught. Bind up the testimony, seal the instructions with my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Yaakov, and I will look eagerly for him. Here I am with the children that the Lord has given me as signs and wonders in Israel. From the Lord Tzevaot, who dwells on Mount Zion, when they say to you, consult the mediums and necromancers who chirp and mutter. Shouldn't a people seek their God? Should a people consult the dead on behalf of the living? To Torah and to testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no light. They will pass this way that are hard pressed and hungry, and it will turn out that when they are hungry, they will become enraged and curse their king and their God. Whether they turn their face upward or look to the earth beyond distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. But there is no gloom in her who has anguish. As in time past, he treaded lightly on the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will bring glory by the way of the sea, beyond Yarden, Galilee of the Gentiles. That was Isaiah or Yeshayahu chapter 8. And now to our reading from the writings. We will be reading Psalms chapter 146 today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will praise my God yet again. Do not put your trust in princes, in man in whom there is no salvation. His breath departs, he returns to his dust, and that very day his plans perish. Happy is he whose help is in the God of Yaakov, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives bread to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the outsiders, upholds the fatherless and widows, but thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Hallelujah. That was Psalms 146. And now to our final section today in the apostolic writings. We are reading Acts chapter 13. Now in the Antioch community, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Shimon called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, brought up since childhood with Herod the Tetrarch, and Shaul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Ruach HaKodesh said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Shaul, for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting, praying, and laying hands on them, they sent them off. So sent out by the Ruach HaKodesh, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had Yochanan as a helper. When they had gone throughout the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a man who was a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar Yeshua. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Shaul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Shaul, who was also Paul, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, fixed his gaze on him and said, "O you full of all deceit and trickery, son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and not see the sun for a while." Immediately cloudiness and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. When he saw what had happened, the proconsul believed, because he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Setting sail from Paphos, Paul's company came to Perga in Pamphylia. John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they passed on from Perga and came to Antioch of Pisidia. Entering the synagogue on the Shabbat, they sat down. After the reading of the Torah and the prophets, the synagogue leaders sent to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, speak." So Paul, standing up, motioned with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and God-fearers, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an outstretched arm, he led them out of there. For about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave their land as an inheritance. All of this took about 450 years. After that, he gave to them judges until Shmuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Shaul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After removing him, he raised up David to be their king. He also testified about him and said, I have found David, the son of Ishai, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. From this man's seed, in keeping with his promise, God brought to Israel a Savior, Yeshua. Before his coming, Yochanan had proclaimed an immersion of repentance to all the people of Israel. As Yochanan was completing his service, he said, What do you suppose me to be? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who are God-fearers, it is to us the message of this salvation has been sent. For those who live in Yerushalayim and their rulers, not recognizing him or the sayings of the prophets that are read every Shabbat, fulfilled these words by condemning him. Though they found no charge worthy of death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that had been written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. For many days he appeared to those who had come up from the Galilee to Yerushalayim, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we proclaim to you good news. The promise to the fathers has arrived. For God has fulfilled his promise to the children, to us, by raising up Yeshua, as it was also written in the second psalm, You are my son, today I have become your father. But since he raised him up from the dead, never to return to decay, he has spoken this way, I will give you the holy and sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, You will not permit your Holy One to see decay. For after David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he went to sleep and was laid with his fathers and saw decay. But the one whom God raised up did not see decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this one is proclaimed to you the removal of sins, including all those from which you could not be set right by the Torah of Moshe. Through this one, everyone who keeps trusting is made righteous. Be careful then, so that what is said in the prophets may not come upon you. Look, you scoffers, be amazed and vanish away, for I am doing a work in your days, a work you will never believe, even if someone tells it to you in detail. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging them to speak these things to them the next Shabbat. When the synagogue meeting broke up, many of the Jewish people and God-fearing inquirers followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking with them and trying to persuade them to continue in the grace of God. The following Shabbat, almost the entire city came together to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jewish leaders saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and tried to contradict what Paul was saying by reviling him. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, It was necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first, since you reject it and judge yourselves unfit for eternal life. Behold, we will turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light to the nations, so that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were thrilled and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been inscribed for eternal life believed. Now the word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their district. But Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet against them, and they went on to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Ruach HaKodesh. That was Acts chapter 13. If you're reading the double portion of the apostolic writings this year. You will also read Revelation chapter 7 today. Well, that concludes our readings today. I pray that you have a beautiful rest of your day. And if you are fasting for the fast of Esther, may it be an easy fast and a reflective time as we head into Purim coming up on Sunday. So Chag Purim Sameach to all of our beautiful listeners. And until next time, this is Karen wishing you shalom from the Golan Heights.